So it was that when the barbarian, sweeping southwards into Attica, occupied a deserted Athens for the second time, Peloponnesians everywhere felt a sudden tremor of alarm. King Leotychides, still cruising off Delos with the allied fleet, saw on the western horizon a distant pinprick of fire, then another in turn, as beacons linking Attica directly to the imperial information network broadcast to distant Sardis the news of Athens' fall. By now it was June. The Spartans, inevitably, were celebrating yet another festival, this time the Hyacinthia, a great spectacle of songs and feasting held in honour of a dead lover of Apollo. Once again, just as had happened in the dark days before Marathon, an Athenian embassy arrived in Lacedaemon, desperate for military assistance, only to find everyone having a party. Behind the scenes, however, wheels were already turning. 10 days the Athenian ambassadors were kept in Sparta. 10 days they kicked their heels. On the 11th day, their patience finally cracked. They delivered an explicit ultimatum. Either the Spartans abandoned their festivities and went to war, or the Athenians would be obliged to accept Mardonius's terms. The ephors, far from panicking or working themselves up into a fit of righteous indignation, merely smiled, then revealed all. "Why," they exclaimed blandly, "had the ambassadors not heard? The Spartan army was already on the march." A true coup de théâtre, and the Athenians were far from the only ones to whom it came as a bolt from the blue. The Argives, having vowed to obstruct any Spartan expedition before it could reach the isthmus, suddenly woke to find themselves bypassed. "The whole fighting force of Lacedaemon is on the march," they reported frantically to Mardonius, "and we are powerless to stop it." Mardonius, determined to lure the Peloponnesians as far north from the isthmus as he could, withdrew from Attica into Boeotia. Here, having been guided along the safest paths by enthusiastic Theban liaison officers, he finally halted. He was now in prime cavalry country, the perfect spot to build his camp, the perfect spot to fight a battle. 4 miles south of Thebes, on the bank of the broadest river in Boeotia, the Asopus, Mardonius duly ordered the construction of a palisade. Again he had chosen his position well. Beyond the river there stretched the gently undulating territory of Thebes' old enemy, Plataea. Beyond the fields of the Plataeans there rose foothills, and beyond them the heights of a mountain with extensive spurs and ridges, Kithaeron. The allies, if they wished to bring Mardonius to battle, would first have to cross a host of barriers, and cross them knowing that defeat would mean their certain annihilation. There could be no easy retreat back to the isthmus from Plataea, nor, equally, for Mardonius, if he lost, back to Thessaly. If the allies came, then the moment of truth would come as well.